Hi, and welcome to the West Visalia Audio Podcast. Each message is designed to help you grow and inspire you to take action. Please take a moment to hit the subscribe button, and don't be shy to drop us a message if you have a question. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
Today, one, because Bible camp starts this weekend. Staff can start coming up there Sunday afternoon. The campers are going to get there Monday. It's going to be an awesome week. We got some great staff. We got great campers, great programs, great classes, great environment. Looks like the weather is actually going to cool off a little then too. It's hot right now, but it's not supposed to be as hot then. So we're going to hope that it stays that way. But again, if you don't like hot weather, I'm not in charge of the weather. Okay, so don't blame me. But bring squirt guns and water balloons because we will find ways to cool off. And there's coolers in every cabin this year. So, I mean, it's going to be pretty cool up there. Cool as in a descriptor of how amazing it is, and cool even in temperature in the cabins up there. So Bible camp starts this coming weekend. Pray for it. If you want to come visit us up there, you know, talk to me, and you can maybe come up there and be there for one of the classes or lessons or something and kind of just get an idea of what camp is all about if you've never been there. But for those of you that are coming as staff, check the Dropbox folder. All the information you need is there. And campers, check your email because all the medical release forms and all that have been emailed to you. I'm also pretty pumped today because I just got back, Claire and I, from a mission trip to Guatemala. We were there for about 9 days, and what I wanted to do this morning is give a report to the congregation about the work that we helped participate in there and why we were there, and then draw some lessons from it. So we'll take a break from Philippians for one more week because I want to talk about the work that we support there, what's going on and where our funds are going, and some of the lessons there. It was definitely an encouraging time. So on Thursday of 2 weeks ago, Claire and I boarded a plane to head toward Guatemala City. We went Fresno to Denver to Houston to Guatemala City. And we got there on Thursday and we started our work. But kind of to back up a little bit, our congregation has almost about a 20-year relationship with this particular work that's going on in Guatemala. The mission group team there has kind of grown over the years. Initially, it was Hawatha, known as High Jones, and Byron Benitez. But Byron, since being there, has gotten married, not to a Guatemalan lady, but a Bosnian lady who he met on a trip to China, which is kind of cool how that all works out, which Snezana is pretty awesome. I've enjoyed spending time with her there. She speaks like Serbo-Croatian, Spanish, English, Chinese. It's pretty awesome. And Byron and Snezana adopted 2 kids there in Guatemala, Alex and Jose. I think they're like ages 8 and 10. They adopted them about 4 years ago. I believe, if I remember the story correctly, their parents were killed, which is not uncommon there in Guatemala with armed robberies and things like that. So our mission team that we support there are Hawatha, Byron, and Snezana. And there's 2 big works that they are involved in there. One is the Linda Vista Church of Christ in the city of Villanueva, which is in the metropolitan area of Guatemala City. And then the Latin American Theological Institute, which is in the area of Guatemala City called Misco, which is to the north end of town there. But we've been involved with this work financially, and they would come give reports for several years or for almost 20 years now with this work there. But we've been able to visit there twice now. I have. And then we also had a mission team from our congregation here years ago. 2 young men from the congregation also visited there. Bradley Andreas and Trevor Brown many years ago visited that work there. But we got there Thursday night. We met up with the rest of our team. Most of our team came from Idaho. There's a church in Idaho that's also heavily involved with the work there. And they put together a work project team every 2 years. It's been 4 years because of COVID. But we met up with them at the airport in Houston and all got on the same plane and arrived in Guatemala City Thursday night. There in Guatemala City, we met up with the local missionaries that are there, Hi and Byron, at the airport, and they helped us get on a bus and get us to our hotel. Our hotel is in the area by the airport in Guatemala City, which isn't unsafe. It's actually a pretty nice area. The hotel itself and all that's in what you can kind of consider a business area where business travelers, there's like banks and, you know, large corporations right there. So that area is pretty safe, and, you know, you could go out and walk to the store around the corner. Maybe not at night, but you could still, you know, visit some stuff there and feel safe. Friday morning, we got up and we left the hotel fairly early to do some sightseeing with the team and kind of learn about Guatemala. We were able to visit what they call the palace, kind of like the government building there for the country, in Guatemala City. There's Claire in front of it. We were able to see some different Mayan artifacts and hear a couple lessons. We went and visited one place that talked to us and lectured us on the topography and geography of Guatemala. And then in the palace, we had a tour learning about how the government works and things like that there, which is good to know when you're in a place to know, you know, how, you know, that place operates and the culture there. And we also got to spend some time visiting a local marketplace. You maybe can't see it there, but there's a goat milk vendor. He had a cup, and you walk up, and he would squirt the milk into a cup, and you can drink fresh goat milk out of the goat. I didn't do that, but I like to freak out my mom, so I called her and told her about the goat sales. And she goes, don't do that. You can get polio, which I don't even know if you can get polio from that, but my mom worries about all sorts of stuff. And mom, if you're watching this right now, don't freak out. I didn't drink the goat's milk. My mom watches online. So Friday, we spent time learning about the Guatemalan culture. Then Friday evening, we met up at ITL. ITL is the Bible college there that we help support. ITL is located in a residential area. They took a house and they turned it into a school and dormitory for the students. And this is the neighborhood where it's at. It's actually a pretty nice neighborhood by Guatemalan standards. It's gated. Don't think that that's fancy because most neighborhoods are gated there. But it just means there's a guy with a gun that watches you when you go in. Everywhere there's guys with guns. But Hawatha Jones's house is right next to the Bible college there. And we go into the Bible college and we got a tour of it there. There's us and the team learning from High as he's telling us about some of the classes that are going on there. And, you know, just some of the updates about how the school's going, where the students are from right now. And there's three current students in the college program, which is kind of lower for them. But with COVID, things were kind of weird. They have a couple students that are waiting to come, but because of visa issues, they're having trouble getting there because one student is from Venezuela and the other is from Cuba, and those in America and all that don't get along so much right now. And America likes Guatemala, and there's all these complications with that. But the school is going well, and they have three great students, and we got to meet them and learn about the work. The students actually live on campus there in these little dorms, which are bedrooms, and they are there full time. After learning about the school, we went to Hawatha's house. Here's all of us in the garage with locals from the Linda Vista Church. They met us there, and we had a dinner together. Hawatha made spaghetti, and we all hung out and visited the best we could with our various language barriers. But we all met in the garage for some singing and some visitation there on Friday. Just kind of give you the geography a little bit. Here's a map of the Guatemalan City metro area. In the middle right here is kind of where our hotel was, and the airport is right there. The school is up here in Misco, up in the north end, and the church that we helped support was down here in Villanueva, which is another city. Now, this area right here isn't that big land-wise. It's like, I don't know, like 10 miles from here to there, but it can take like over an hour and a half sometimes to get there because of traffic. And I experienced that. Everywhere you go there is traffic. Not traffic like we think, like LAX, you know, or 405 going to LAX with multiple lanes. No, it's two lanes that has four lanes of cars and a goat and a cow and 1,000 motorcycles, okay? And it's that. And one of the reasons why there was really, really bad traffic there this week was a sinkhole recently opened up the week before on the main road that goes to Villanueva. I took this picture from the bus. That's how close they have you drive next to the sinkhole. We learned later that week that some geologists came and surveyed the land and said that, by the way, that sinkhole goes several hundred meters underground under where we were driving, okay? Safety standards are a little bit different there. But that sinkhole's not that bad. In 2010, they had this one. Doesn't that look like something from Independence Day? Like aliens did that, right? No, but that's a real picture of a sinkhole there. So the one that we experienced there wasn't that bad, but it definitely threw off traffic all over the city, where semi-trucks are going down alleys with people hanging off the side, all that kind of stuff. Saturday and Sunday while we were there, we helped with a seminar that was going on at the Linda Vista Church hosted by the Bible College. Now, this is a big deal, and I know Curtis talked about this last week. Because of COVID regulations there in Guatemala, which they're very strict about masks and distancing, even to recently, you still have to wear masks, but the distancing requirement and crowd size requirement has been lifted. So this was the first lectureship seminar that they've had in a few years. Normally they do it at like a hotel or a conference area because it's bigger. This was smaller, obviously. But I got to speak on that program by the help of a translator at the Linda Vista Church right there. And and there's a crowd there for the lectureship, a good-sized crowd that was there, different churches represented. there's a brother from Panama, Ulysses right there, there's me speaking, and then Brother Hainer from Costa Rica, and also Clint Davidson from Idaho, who was there, all spoke on this program, and we were teaching on the sovereignty of God. The congregation was super excited to have this event because this is the first time, and except for last week was the first time, and this is the first time they've had an event that everybody could come together as one crowd. They were having separate services because of distancing requirements. Now, since that has been lifted, they were able to come together, and it was definitely a very encouraging time to have all these different Christians gather together, and you could tell they were excited to be around each other. They were hugging and shaking hands and all of that, which they do that anyway, but this was even more so, which me, who likes to leave quickly after I'm done talking to people, it takes like an hour to say goodbye to everybody because everybody wants to hug you, and then they want their cousin to hug you, and then they want to introduce you to their neighbor and want them to hug you, and I'm not even that big of a hugger, okay? But in Guatemala, I'm a hugger. Claire, on the other hand, all the kids love her, and it was great. But during the seminar, too, Claire was able to help teach the kids, and some of the ladies were helping with that, too. And Claire did awesome, and all the Guatemalan children love Claire, and she taught them all games, and they were playing them constantly. She had no problem making friends there. I'm still kind of awkward, as you could imagine. But the church there in Villanueva is in kind of a rougher area. This is just right around the corner. This is the corner store from the church. You can notice dirt roads and everything has bars on front. But it's not, by Guatemalan standards, this isn't bad. This would be kind of working class neighborhood. But it is a place that definitely if you're an American, you don't want to wander around unescorted. But even there is the fear of crime and all of that. But most of the members of that church walk there. I mean, not everybody has transportation. If you do, maybe you hire a motorcycle taxi or you pay a guy a casal and you get on the back and hang on and he takes you somewhere. So most of the members walked to church there, and it was really neat to see on Sunday morning all these people walking hand in hand and some bringing pots of food because there was a potluck afterwards and things like that, you know, coming to that time of fellowship there. At the end of the seminar, they also had a memorial service. Aníbal Ramírez was the local preacher there. High and Byron aren't the preachers for the church there. A local Guatemalan is, which I appreciate. They don't run the show. They let the locals do their thing. But the preacher there, Aníbal, he passed away during 2020 from some health complications that he had from some previous illnesses and things. And because of distancing requirements, they weren't able to have a funeral for him until while we were there. So this is the first time they really got to honor him. So there was a slideshow. And this is his family. That's his wife and his three daughters that were left behind. They're all amazing people. The girls are amazing, and they were involved in the work there, and they actually went with us on some of the touristy stuff we went to. But they got to go up on stage, be given flowers by the congregation and prayed for, and seeing the girls up there and, you know, them crying and everything, there was definitely not too many dry eyes around there. So it was a heartfelt and an amazing weekend seminar. Then Monday through Thursday, we participated in a work project there in the region south of Villanueva in a town called Amatitlan, not to be confused with the lake that's there. It's another town, but this is kind of up in the hills slightly, and we were helping. There's a brother named Wilder who's moving from a town called San Cristobal that's 4 hours away. He was working with a church there. He's moving to be an instructor at the school. Wilder previously owned this house before moving to that work in San Cristobal. He rented it while he was gone to a local, and now he's coming back to live there. But the people that were renting it didn't stay up with it, and there's not a lot of regulations and things to watch out for, that kind of thing. So the house was in a lot of disrepair, so West Visalia helped fund to refurbish this house so this instructor, his wife, and their three kids could have a nice place to live as he's working with the school there. So most of our work involved cleanup, paint, and wiring. Here's Claire on this side here painting one of the bedrooms. It's going to be a three-bedroom house when you're done. Right now it's kind of just two. And over here they're working on getting some wiring set up. The house itself is cinder blocks in a square, plaster on the walls, and sheet or a corrugated tin for the roof. That's it. As for running water, they get running water maybe an hour a day when the government decides to turn it on and you're deciding to collect it in time. So they have to they mostly collect rainwater or they buy water. In what you would call the shower, which is very primitive, there is a 55-gallon drum full of rainwater and a bucket, and you use that bucket to flush the toilet in the bathroom. By Guatemalan standards, it's a pretty nice house. By our state standards, none of us would probably want to live there. But it's kind of a wake-up call that, you know, how spoiled sometimes we really are. But the house, once it started getting cleaned up, was coming together well. The wiring project was definitely needed there because there was only one functioning or two functioning lights in the house. You'd go by these houses that are nothing more than tin sheds, and they still have an electric meter on it. Somebody's getting money for electricity. But we're trying to help wire. Thankfully, on our team, there was two brothers that were electricians, so they were able to do it well. And this is a local Guatemalan that was hired to kind of help us secure supplies and things like that. He'd get on the back of a motorcycle that someone else is driving and go into a shop to get wire screws and things like that. He also brought us a ladder. You notice that ladder is missing the other half? Yeah. So it took three missionaries and one guy on one ladder to change a light bulb. That was the good ladder. The wood ladder over there had a cabinet door as one of the rungs, and it was crooked. But so he brought us ladders. But there's us at lunch. The ladies from the church would bring us food, and we get to sit there around a table and eat it together. But the wiring was coming out good. They were able to install actual like circuit panels and put in some conduit, which was definitely needed to have real wiring. We were in one of the rooms painting by flashlight because the light on the ceiling wouldn't come on, the single bulb that was dangling there. And the wife who was living there came in and showed us that you could get the light to work in the ceiling if you plugged in this hot plate. I'm not joking. They plugged in the hot plate and the light turns on. I'm not an electrician. I don't know why, but that's, and I know it's not supposed to do that, but I'm thankful to say that they no longer need to plug in a burner to get the light to turn on. So there was something bad going on there. But here's the girls' room coming together, and these ladies from Idaho brought some decals we were able to put on the wall. It looks really pretty. Here's the living room, kitchen, bathroom, slash master bedroom that Byron and Wilder, that's the brother there, whose house it's going to be, which, by the way, I am tall in Guatemala. I walk around like, why, hello. Like, so, because Wilder there, like, comes up to here on me, and I'm like, hey there, sport. You know, I didn't do that, no, but I felt tall all of a sudden. If you notice right here, there's a wall that was there. The tenants took the wall with them because they built the wall. So since they built the wall, they want their materials back. So there's some rebar there, which we put water balls on so you don't impale yourself. But that's dirt floor right there, which is going to be the master bedroom kind of when it's all said and done. So there's definitely work to be done there. Here's some of the concrete supplies out front of the property. But here's the boys' room that we were able to help paint too. And he wanted all of us to put our handprints on the wall. He thought that was really cool because the two kids really weren't keen on moving back to Villanueva. They liked their life in San Cristobal. Now they're moving to a house that's missing a wall. And they were kind of excited to kind of have their own space and get their bedrooms put together with all of that. Here's the family that we were able to do the house for, a great family. This is Clint, the leader of the team from Idaho. But they were very appreciative of the work that we were able to fund and help participate in. And then on the last day, we were also able to do some cleanup projects around the church property. And then on Thursday night, we got together with the congregation and had a going away party. The church threw a going away party for us, kind of a game night, you might say. And here we're having a game with Walter, the local preacher now that Anibal is no longer there, is helping lead. This was a game called Sharks and Lions. And basically when he said shark, you had to jump away from the shark. When he said lion, you had to jump away from the lion. And apparently the brethren in Spanish were just as confused as we were in English, so we didn't feel bad. Here's Claire playing a game, hitting a balloon with her head, and, you know, different contests with that. But we all ate together and had a good time. And here's the congregation, those that volunteered with the work as well. They took a picture there without us to show that, you know, the locals there were with us. Here's Claire, along with a couple of the girls that were Anibal's daughters, visiting with them. There are a couple of great girls. Here's Claire. I only took pictures of Claire, not me. Claire, along with Alex and Jose, having a good time because on Friday, we were able to do some kind of some touristy stuff. We went to a macadamia nut plantation. That's where Claire is at there. And we also got to visit the city of Antigua. So that was kind of our whole trip. Most of the time was spent doing that work project at Wilder's house and the seminar. But we did get to see some things and learn some things about the culture there while we were there. So I wanted to kind of put all that out there and then kind of sum up, what did I learn spiritually speaking this last week? Well, number one, what stood out to me as we were there was the need to gather with Christians is universal. You know, the shutdown that we had here where we had to spend time apart affected us. It affected them too. And even more so because they had to be separate for a lot longer. And the same way that we had to get equipped really quickly to put together small groups or Zoom classes and all of that, they had to do that too. They had to put together, thankfully there is online capabilities. Most people had some cell phones and things like that. And they were able to do Zoom classes. They were able to have, you know, various church leaders have groups meeting in their homes and things. But they had to be mobile just like we were. And they were very excited to come back together when they could. When we started coming back together, the comment that everybody made was, I missed the people. No one said, I missed Cliff's lessons. They said, we miss being with the brethren. And the Guatemalan brethren said the exact same thing. And it's amazing that the Bible says the exact same thing too. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 23, it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The assembly is meant to encourage. And when you can't have that assembly with believers, you feel discouraged. It was so neat to be a part of the group as they were able to come back together and see the love and the appreciation they had for one another, just like us here. That's universal. It doesn't matter if you're a Guatemalan Christian, an American Christian, an Asian Christian, a European Christian, an Australian. It doesn't matter. That need to assemble and gather with Christians is universal and biblical. God meant us to have that sense of community and belonging where we can encourage one another, where we can lift each other up. And when you don't have it, you miss it. First lesson I learned. Lesson number two. I also saw how unity is expressed in worship. One of the neat things we did is, of course, they have their own local hymns and things that they would sing, but there were some songs that they would sing that I recognized the tune as being songs that we would sing too. And we would try to sing back and forth. And one of the things we were doing at some of the gatherings was they might sing a hymn in Spanish, and the English team would sing one in English. And all of us happen to know that old hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. I don't know what the lyrics are in Spanish. My Spanish isn't that good. But they had their version. We had our version. And at one point in the Saturday night or the Thursday night gathering, we all sung that together in our own language. And it was really cool. Because although we're singing with different languages, we're all still singing the same song. And I'm thinking about, you know, the early church coming together with different backgrounds, Jews and Gentiles, and overcoming different language and cultural barriers, and the unity that's found in, hey, we're all just trying to worship God. And that was universal. Oh yeah, they might do things differently than I would do things here, and there's cultural flair and styles and all sorts of things, of course, that are different. But the fact that both of us are trying to worship God together showed unity. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the Colossian church, he's trying to get them to get along and to be united. In fact, in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you should also. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So he says, love one another, be united. And then he illustrates, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The illustration of the unity that we have in Christ is worship. It's all of us in one voice, maybe even different languages in different parts of the world, praising God. And I thought that was really neat, that unity that's expressed in worship. And it didn't matter where we are, I immediately felt like I'm with believers. They are just like me, I'm just like them, because we all serve that same God. And another two lessons that stood out to me, number three, when we are in Christ, we have family everywhere. Immediately we felt at home. Immediately we felt loved and appreciated. Immediately we felt like we could joke around, we could visit, we could trust because of the fact that we were in Christ together. And you have that. You don't have that. I didn't feel that way with a person at the hotel or the person at a shop or someone that walked by me on the street. I was kind and all of that, but I didn't feel that closeness that I felt with when I was there with other believers. And then number four, loving Jesus crosses all language and all cultural barriers. I know you know that, but I think it's a good reminder to be able to experience that. So that was our trip this last week there to Guatemala City. I do thank the congregation here for being able to send me that way. Also for those that helped Claire raise her funds to get there, I appreciate it. It was definitely an encouragement to her. But it's also good that we as a congregation were able to see firsthand the work that's going on there. I think we should definitely keep supporting it. They're training preachers in the local community. The church there is reaching out the area around Linda Vista and doing a great work there. They're impacting the community. That community needs Jesus like just like every other community. And it was great to be able to even help be participating in that building project. But it's also, of course, an encouragement to get to be able to see that doesn't matter where you are, you can all serve that same Jesus. Now, as for our sermon this morning, my motivation to all of us is this. Trust that same God, worship Him, value the times that we're able to spend together, and know that when you're in Jesus Christ, you have unity with believers all over the globe. They're going through some of the same struggles that you're going through, maybe in different ways, of course. The peculiarities of my struggles maybe in Visalia might be different than someone in Guatemala City, but the overarching sins and struggles are all the same. And we all need that same message of hope that's found in the gospel. If you're here this morning and you want to be part of something like that, talk to one of us. You want to be part of a worldwide movement of believers that are trying to serve Jesus with all their heart? You want to have that unity, you want to have that closeness, that's available through the church. You come believing in Jesus, repent of your sins, we can baptize you into Jesus Christ and you can live for Him. It doesn't matter where you are, you'll always have family. Also, maybe in the future, if you want to take a trip there, talk to me. Maybe we can organize something from the church here. But keep praying for the work. Be thankful that you're a part of that work. We're doing a good work there, and I was excited to get to experience that firsthand. I know there's been an invitation song selected. If anybody does have a need this morning, I'll be up here for the first verse to help or so, and you can also talk to one of us after. But why don't we stand, and why don't we sing?
Thanks again for listening to West Visalia Audio. We hope these messages have helped you grow and inspired you to take action. Be sure to check in each week for more on-the-go content or visit our YouTube channel to watch the live video. Thanks for participating, and God bless.